Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast, where our lives are being transformed by the preaching of the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, we are back on our study, Bible truths concerning the local church. If you have been blessed, say hi. If you have been, hallelujah, praise God. You know, people dread the idea of the local church for many reasons. Amen. And then we're going to address many of that, many of those reasons before the close of this series. But then you should be blessed. The series should have blessed you. Amen. You shouldn't be offended. I'm not teaching from my head. I'm not showing you things that are contrary to scriptures. I'm showing you things from the word of God. Hallelujah. And if you receive this wisdom of God, it will be for your own good. So today I want to begin to address reasons why people don't stay committed to a local church, or why people find it difficult to stay committed to local church, to the local church. Praise God. So, you know, there's the idea of I can worship God everywhere, worship God all by myself. And, you know, I mean, that's right. Praise God. You are absolutely right. You can worship God everywhere, anywhere, you know, however you choose, by yourself, you can. That's a statement of truth from the scriptures. John chapter 4. Look at this now. John chapter 4. So these are common excuses. You know, you could find them. For instance, I found this on a poll that was run by a particular organization. So I'm going to address some of them. I've come in contact with them also. So in my personal experience as a pastor, and then it's good to know that these are common reasons why people feel that they can't be committed to a local church. Yeah, so we're going to start with this particular one. I can worship God everywhere. I can worship God on my own. I don't need to go to church. I can do worship all by myself. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 4, and I said, that's a statement of truth. It is very true. You are absolutely right to say that you can worship God everywhere and anywhere all by yourself. You are very right. You're a Bible scholar. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. Glory to God. You are a Bible student to know that you can worship God everywhere. I mean, a lot of believers don't know this. They don't know this truth. They feel they must get into a particular building before they can worship God. So, I mean, thumbs up. You're right. John 4. Hallelujah. And then I'll read from verse 21. Jesus said to the woman, okay, let's start from verse 19. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. So there was a debate. Is it the mountain? Is it Jerusalem? In those days, and then Jesus answered, verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So Jesus says there's going to come a time when it won't be about locations. Hallelujah. That is locations in the natural, physical locations, because the worship of God will be in the spirit and it will be done in truth. Hallelujah. What does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? In spirit and in truth means to worship God in the knowledge of his Son, in the knowledge of Christ. Paul corroborates this at Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. So you are very right. It won't be about locations or places. It will be about the Spirit. And this is why when we are done with church services, you can continue to pray and to sing unto God and to relate with the Father, because it is not location, earthly location bound. Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. And I'll read verse 3. The Bible says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. Hallelujah. In the spirit. Praise God. So, and then, you know, if you look at the context very well, Paul is talking about the worship of God based on the new covenant. Because from verse 1, he began by warning the Philippians against a particular set of people. Verse 1, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. So, dogs, evil workers, mutilation, speaking about the circumcision which is of the flesh. Judaism. Amen. So, Paul says, beware of them because we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, verse 4 says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. It now begins to tell us what it means to have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Hallelujah. Men who boast in the flesh are folks who boast in self-righteousness. So there were folks who were boasting in their external and outward appearances. Glory to God. So Paul says, beware of them because the worship of God which we have is that which is in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and we have no confidence in the flesh. Glory to God. So, and then it gets to verse 7. It says, but what things were gained to me, indeed I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is true faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Amen. So, the worship of God is based on the knowledge of Christ. It's based on our faith in Christ Jesus. So, we have true worship in Christ Jesus, and we can worship God in Christ Jesus based on his merits, based on the fact that we have been made righteous in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Now, so it is right that we can worship God everywhere. Anywhere we can sing to the Lord, we can praise his name, we can fall flat on our faces and give him praise and adoration. You are very right. However, that is not meant to be used as an excuse for not being a part of a local church. The person that said, a time is coming when you need our worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem, eventually told his disciples to go and wait for him in Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem till you indeed depart from on high. So, he's not against gatherings. Jesus, spoke about gatherings. He motivated people to find themselves in gatherings that would be a blessing to them. Hallelujah. In his ministry, he had gatherings upon gatherings, assemblies of people, of men and women. And then when the church was eventually born, we know that the church was born because men gathered. On the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord. And from that day, we see the church of Jesus growing in number, praise God. And then men began to assemble in different places and locations. Churches were born in different regions. Churches of Galatia, the church at Corinth, the church at Colossae, the church at Ephesus. We had church spreading through different regions, cities, and nations. Hallelujah. So we cannot use one truth to negate another. Praise God. One of the things you to factor in every time you're studying your Bible is that when you come across a statement of truth, a doctrinal statement, you must look out for the practice. I've always said this. So, God is spirit, we can worship in spirit and in truth. We should worship in spirit and in truth. How did they practice it in the Bible? They gathered. Hallelujah. They gathered and they did it as individuals in their personal spaces too. So, you can't use that truth to negate the truth of a need for us to gather together to worship God. Hallelujah. The second one also, which is just like it. Hallelujah. The second one, which is just like it, just like the first commandment, second commandment. So, second one also, which is like it. I can study my Bible. I can read my Bible anywhere on my own. I don't need anybody to teach me. I can just read my Bible anywhere. Well, you are right. You are right that you can read your Bible by yourself. But the fact that you can read your Bible by yourself does not mean you don't need to be a part of a local church. Hallelujah. Because beyond reading your Bible by yourself, you also need to receive teachings. You are right to say that you can read your Bible by yourself. You are wrong to say you can read your Bible and you do not need any teaching. Amen. You're also wrong to say you can read your Bible and because of that, you don't need to be a part of a local church. That's wrong. And you see, beneath all this idea of I can worship by myself, I can read my Bible by myself, is a selfish mindset. You are not seeing yourself as someone who needs to also be a blessing to others. Glory to God. We don't come to church, for instance, primarily to meet with God. God is everywhere. So if it's about meeting God, you can be in the comfort of your room for the rest of your life and never interact with anybody and you'll be fine. But this is not just about meeting God. It's about a meeting with one another in the which we can sharpen ourselves. We help ourselves grow. We make a supply of the Spirit. We relate, we interact. We do ministry together. We strengthen one another. So there is more to our gathering than just coming to meet with God. Amen. In fact, the ideal mindset is that believers who are full of God, who are carriers of God, are coming together to sharpen themselves. Amen. So we don't come into His presence. We come to meet ourselves with His presence that we carry on our inside. Hallelujah. I don't come to meet God in church. God is in me. I'm the temple of the Spirit of God. God is in me every time, everywhere, 24/7. But I come to church to sharpen other believers and to also receive ministry and to grow. Amen. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, and I'll start from verse 24 because that is key. Verse 24 shows you why we gather. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Why do we need to gather together? Why do we need to come together? It is beyond trying to come and meet God. If it's just about coming to meet God, then, I mean, we don't need to gather at all. But we are coming to meet with one another, to have fellowship with one another, so to speak, and to sharpen ourselves in the faith. That is where the weak find strength. That is where those who are strong are able to impact those who are weak. That is where those who are strong even get stronger. So it's a meeting for our own sakes. Hallelujah. It is not because of God. Hallelujah. We are not coming to meet God because we are missing God. No, God is with us everywhere. Hebrews 10, 24. Bible says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's the essence. Let us consider one another. And how do we do that? By not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Verse 25, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Hallelujah. So in the gathering of the saints, we stir up love and good works. We stir up ourselves to walk in love and to walk in good works. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you don't say, because I can read my Bible by myself, I don't need to go to church. That is the more reason why you should be a part of a local church. Hallelujah. The fact that you can worship God on your own is the reason why you should be a part of a local church. So after you spend time in worship, you come with that fire and fervency and that zeal to a local church and you spur others up to do the same. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, who had all the fullness of God in him, and he was the only one who had that kind of relationship with the Father back then. This is what he extended to us in his resurrection. So we also carry the fullness of God today. But when Jesus was in the midst of men, in his ministry, in his earthly ministry and earthly walk, he was the only person that had the fullness of the Father. John says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Guess what? He was full of everything. He could do everything by himself, yet he was always gathering with people. Praise God. At age 12, he went to the temple, he was asking questions. Hallelujah. At the start of his ministry, he walked into the temple, they gave him the book, and he read from the book of Isaiah, and he says, this book, this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing today. And he kept walking, he kept going back to that synagogue, to those synagogues, till the end of his earthly ministry. Glory to God. That is a man who should have withdrawn from everybody and just enjoyed God by himself. But he enjoyed the company and the gathering of men. He was able to sharpen others by his own commitment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, number three. Some say, I already belong to an online community where they preach and teach God's word. So why do I need to be in a physical assembly where I'm submitted to the leadership to learn God's word and to grow and to serve together? Hallelujah. Well, WhatsApp groups are very good and helpful. Being on a group, on a Christian Bible study group, on Telegram, WhatsApp, anywhere, I mean, it could even be a Facebook group, closed or open group. It's good. I mean, it's helpful. I run a couple of that. But then it's not the same as being in a local church. Hallelujah. WhatsApp group is not local church. Praise God. And Telegram groups are also not local churches. Following somebody on Twitter, on Facebook, that's a blessing to you is not the same as being in a local church. Hallelujah. You know, because there's so much virtual thing that people are doing today as a substitute for being in a physical assembly. Now, in the virtual world, nobody gets to really know who you are. You can be behind your keypad and just be punching, hallelujah, amen, glory to God, and then you are living a different kind of lifestyle offline. So it's in a physical setting. We get to really know you, and then we really get to keep you accountable as a Christian. Praise God. You know, even in offline meetings, people get to sleep in services. Hallelujah. People get to be distracted while the service is going on. You find somebody already on WhatsApp or any of the social media platforms. While in church, he's already distracted. How much more when all our services are online and nobody gets to see you? I mean, you could be listening to someone on one end, and at the same time, you are tuned into your favorite show on DSTV. Do you know? So a lot of disorderliness can be promoted by all these virtual kind of services. Praise God. Virtual approach to service. There's a need to be planted in a local church, in a physical assembly where you are known and you know others. Praise God. Imagine if the early church was meeting virtually. Hallelujah. I mean, how would they be able to say, look among yourselves for several men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith. I mean, these are things we know only by interacting with men. Physical interaction. Hallelujah. So don't be deceived. Belonging to an online group or online Christian community is not the same as being in a local church. And in most of those online groups, you don't have definite leaderships. Amen. You don't have somebody you refer to as pastor. There's nobody giving you instruction. Everybody just comes to talk his own. Hallelujah. Only a few coordinated groups here and there where you just get materials. I run a few of that. You just get materials and everybody's reading. And, you know, I can't even refer to myself as their pastor. I'm not a pastor of anybody on WhatsApp. I'm not a pastor of anybody on social media. Do you get? I'm not a pastor to followers on social media. I'm not a pastor to them. I can be a blessing to them. They can, you know, see me as a teacher of God's word. They can even see me as a pastor, as a pastor of a church. But I am not their pastor. Glory to God. And you know, I understand how this can be offensive to some. You know, yeah, pastor, you're my pastor now. And I say, I'm not your pastor. You know, you could be offended. Praise God. But the truth of the matter is no sentiments, no emotions. Let's be truthful. I'm not your pastor. Hallelujah. I'm not your pastor unless you are rooted in my local church, unless you've passed through my hand as a person I've trained. Glory to God. Otherwise, I'm not your pastor. Hallelujah. Because the truth of the matter is, if you claim to be my church member and I'm your pastor, when last did I call you to say, come and do something for me? When last did I say, okay, we need to put up this publication, let's write together? Like, those are things I do with my church members. Hallelujah. I mean, and even if you are new in my church, it will soon get to your turn where we'll start calling you to do things. Yeah. So if I'm your pastor, I must be calling you. I must be giving you assignments, obligations. Do you get what I'm saying? So if I'm not doing that with you, it's because I know I have no such rights over you as a person. Glory to God. So belonging to an online community does not in any way translate into you being a member of a local church. And that should not be seen as a substitute for a sound and a healthy local church. You need a place where you can sit down physically, get to know people, build relationships, get to be known. Hallelujah. And that's what a local church is about. Also, people say that, okay, I have a few friends. We relate together. We do Bible study together. Do we still need local church? I mean, we don't go to church. We don't go to the traditional church setting. But then we chat. We talk God's word. We talk scriptures. We just, amongst ourselves, we bond and we share God's word. Do we need a local church? That's just like the same thing I just addressed. Amen. Just may not be virtual. You may even have a meeting time where you just fall into your houses or your places together, and then you study scriptures together. But a local church has a pastor. So the question is, in this your circle of friends, whether you are two or three is not even the issue here. You can be three, you can be four, you can be five. Is there a pastor in your midst? Amen. It is not church without leadership. It is not church unless there is a leader. Somebody must be recognized as a leader, a man responsible for doctrinal sanity. Amen. Doctrinal purity, doctrinal integrity. Somebody must uphold sound doctrine in your midst. Not everybody just yearning and sharing what they think is right. Glory to God. So it is not church until there's a leader. Somebody responsible for feeding others. Hallelujah. And most folks who prefer such arrangements to a local church setting are people who always want to be the one talking to. They can't be in a place where they can just sit down and receive teachings and learn and then share what they are learning and then impact others by, you know, way of service in the local church. They also want to be the one talking. As the pastor is talking, they want to also talk, contribute. Like somebody who came for a Bible seminar some time ago, this young man, I mean, he was just looking at me. I was sharing. So when we're done, I asked for questions and answers, questions, and then people were sending in their questions. This man said, you know, he wants to give a contribution. And I said, no, we're still taking questions. And then he says, okay, but you know, in meetings like this, we should also give room for people to contribute because, you know, I'm also a youth pastor. I was laughing in my heart. I wanted to blow. But, you know, I just had to say, okay, no problem. We'll talk after the meeting. So I went to meet him and then we're talking. I said, see, if everybody is thinking that way, nobody is going to leave this place. If everybody wants to contribute something in a Bible seminar, nobody is going to leave here. Praise God. I can't remember myself getting into any church or Christian meeting and thinking I'm a pastor. I must also talk here. Amen. It doesn't make sense. As a pastor, I've attended meetings to just go and take notes. Take notes, go with my Bible, open scriptures, and learn. You know, you don't have to wear that title on your head. You're a pastor, so what? You also should be well disposed to receiving teachings. Hallelujah. So most people who prefer a setting where it's just a group of friends interacting together, sharing scriptures together, you know, folks like that who prefer such settings to the local church are people who always want to also do the talking. Amen. But you see, that stuff that you are using as a substitute for the local church is what you are meant to even find in a local church. After we are done teaching and you receive teaching and we teach and we instruct from God's word, you know, amongst your circle of friends, I spoke about this yesterday, among the relationships you've developed, you can even take Bible study to your individual spaces, to your groups and all that you get. So that should not be a substitute for the local church. That should even be found in the local church. It should be an offshoot of being in a sound and effective local church. Praise God. So all these excuses are not good enough. They will never be good enough. They are anti-scriptures and they must be submitted. They must be subject to the authority of God's word. Hallelujah. And what is Bible prescription? Discipleship. And discipleship is only practicable in a local church. Hallelujah. You see, all the other substitutes, I can worship God on my own. I can read my Bible on my own. I have a group of friends who just interact together. I have an online community. You know, all those things. Discipleship is impossible in those places. Amen. Discipleship is practicable only in the setting of the local church. Praise God. In the setting of a local church. Today. So that's why the early church referred to men as disciples, men who were learning doctrine. Hallelujah. Men who were learning doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Acts 2:42. Glory to God. Acts 6:1-2. They referred to men as disciples. The multitude of disciples were increasing. Praise God. Acts of Apostles chapter 6 and verse 7. Discipleship is Bible prescription and it is possible only, practicable only, in the settings of a local assembly. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 6 and verse 7. Glory to God. Then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. How did the word of God spread? Because the apostles gave themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word with the old church. Amen. They kept teaching. Hallelujah. So the Acts of Apostles, the book of Acts shows us how that the idea of discipleship is only practicable in the setting of a local church. Glory to God. The setting of a local church. If you say, well, it's just a group of friends, the truth is, can your friend rebuke you when you err? Hallelujah. Can your friend be very strict with you concerning spiritual disciplines? Can you just, you know, go away for a few weeks or maybe even a month or two, and then you are absent from the meeting, and there's nobody that can even call you to order? And they have to patronize you. They have to say, brother or my friend, you know, I have not been seeing you. What's happening? Oh, work, Abi. Oh, I understand. You know, that's the way you'll be dealing with yourselves most likely. But it's in the setting of a local church, you can be corrected. You can be told to your face, brother, you're already missing it. You're already losing it. You're already backsliding. Glory to God. So the kind of disciplines that can be administered in the local church, you can't find it in all those other settings. All by yourself worshiping God, all by yourself praising God, all by yourself studying the Bible. You can all by yourself also not do it for many days and many months. And there's nobody to correct you or to rebuke you. Praise God. So don't run from discipline. Don't ditch the idea of the local church for all these convenient systems and setups that we have come about by our own wisdom. God's wisdom and God's design and God's system and God's pattern for discipleship is the local church. Hallelujah. The local church. Acts of Apostles 9:36, men were called disciples. Acts 19:8-9, disciples. Acts 20:7, disciples. And you see, they were called disciples in the context of them being submissive or committed in a local church. Hallelujah. In a local church. The local church is the only idea that makes discipleship practicable. Amen. Teach, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is only possible in a local church. Your friend cannot do that for you. Amen. You won't even have the humility and meekness to submit to your friend. You will see yourselves as just friends. Glory to God. So the local church is where you identify and recognize spiritual authority. The role is well defined. There's a leader and their followers. Glory to God. And you see, it takes humility and meekness to submit to that idea. Praise God. Anytime you find yourself battling or, you know, struggling with the idea of a local church, having to go submit to a leader of a local church, you need to start dealing with the pride and ego that's in your heart. Praise God. That's all. It's just pride and ego. You have to deal with it, combat it. Glory to God. And get rid of it so you can profit from God's wisdom. Hallelujah. We need to remind ourselves that discipleship was only done in the setting of a local church in the early church. Hallelujah. That's the reason for having churches in every place. Glory to God. We don't find individuals standing aloof or staying alone and trying to, you know, grow by themselves. No. We found believers planted in a family, in a setting where they can receive nourishment and they can grow up in the faith. Glory to God. So we have the church at Jerusalem, Acts of Apostles chapter 8 verse 1. The church at Jerusalem, Acts 11, 19 to 22. The church at Antioch, Acts 11, 26, Acts 13, 1. Hallelujah. At Acts 14, 19 to 23, they appointed elders in every church. Glory to God. You see, they had different churches springing up, and that was the place for discipleship. Glory to God. Discipleship. Praise God. And even when men were to meet in houses, it was still referred to as the church. Glory to God. Romans in chapter 16, Romans 16, 3 to 5, Bible says the church in their house. Hallelujah. Church in their house, churches of the Gentiles. So we have church in the house. We have church, churches of Galatia, Galatians 1, 1 to 2. We have the church of the Laodiceans, Colossians 4, 15 to 16. So you see, discipleship was only done in the setting of a local church. Hallelujah. So let go of every excuse and begin to prayerfully consider the local church. Hallelujah. If you're already planted in a sound and a healthy local church, improve your commitment right there. If you are yet to find yourself in a sound and a healthy local church, you need to start looking out for one. Glory to God. Start looking out for one, because God will not change his mind. God will not bend his standards for you. God will not compromise his values for you. No, you need to be in a sound local church and you need to make that choice today. Hallelujah. Pray about it. Think about it. Don't joke with it. Don't discard it. It is not one of those things. It's a major aspect. It's a major decision you must take as a believer. Glory to God. You have to be serious about it, because this is about you choosing and embracing God's own wisdom as opposed to human wisdom and opinions. Glory to God. We're going to continue from here in the next teaching. Invite your friends, family members, classmates, colleagues. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.